Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning are Moses' words recorded in Exodus. We read in chapter 6, verses 2 to 8. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, I was amazed on our road trip to Colorado a few weeks ago how conditioned we, and I venture to say we, all are to logos, to different icons and signs we see along the road. I mean, isn't it true? We can be driving along and off in the distance, you'll see an icon of a certain shape or a certain color or a certain height, and immediately the name of that restaurant, that hotel, that service station or plaza pops right into our heads. And when we think about that logo and what it means, generally it means one of two things. We either go, ah, and then we stop and make use of the place. Or we go, and we just keep on driving right on by. And we do that because name means reputation. And reputation evokes emotion and moves us into action. We eat at certain restaurants. We sleep at particular hotels. We know that if we stop at that gas station, that the bathrooms will be clean, relatively speaking. But name as reputation is no less true when it comes to the names that God uses when he comes to Moses and tells Moses that he, God, is going to deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And that Moses is going to be the man who is going to go and do that. And who is going to lead that exodus to the land of Canaan that God had promised, where they had resided as foreigners, that God had promised the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that one day he would give to them. A reputation and a name evokes emotion, and it moves into action. You who have family and friends in Florida, if I say the name Hurricane Irma, that evokes certain emotions in you. And the reputation of that hurricane as the strongest ever in the Atlantic Ocean certainly has moved even the most diehard Floridians who have experienced other storms to get in their cars and to drive inland or drive north. So I ask you, what's in a name? But particularly, what's in a name? God's name. As we look at this account from the life of Moses, we see that God's name really means two things in the names that he gives Moses. It means almighty power, and it means faithful grace. A little bit earlier, God had just told Moses that he would deliver by the power of his mighty hand after the plagues Pharaoh into Moses' hand so that Moses would command Pharaoh to let my people go for God, and Pharaoh would do that. Pharaoh wouldn't only let them go, he drove them out of Egypt because he wanted to get rid of them. The Egyptians even gave them a lot of plunder to take with them, even though it is true that Pharaoh's army quickly went off in pursuit. And then begins our lesson. That's the also. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. The Hebrew name Yahweh, or in English, all capital letters, L-O-R-D, what we call the Tetragrammaton, is God's name of covenant grace. We could say it was the Old Testament word for Savior. When Moses heard that word, it meant to him God saying, I am your Savior. I have promised a Savior from sin, and I'm going to show my power by delivering my people from Egypt as a picture of that deliverance from sin. We'll look more at that name of the Lord, Yahweh, in just a little bit. But first, we want to put our attention on the other name that God uses here, God Almighty. Some of you may be familiar with the song El Shaddai. El Shaddai is Hebrew for God Almighty. What does Almighty mean? It means powerful. But what it really means is the authority to turn and make nature do something that it normally can't do. It means to have that power over all things. It's the name that God first used when he came to 99-year-old Abraham and promised again that he and his 88-year-old wife, Sarah, were going to have a child. And that child would be the ancestor of a great nation. The Apostle Paul describes it this way in his letter to the Roman Christians. God calls things that are not as though they were. God Almighty would take one of the world's most powerful nations and make them remove the yoke and release all of their slaves. And then when they chased after them, that God would stretch out his mighty arm and part the Red Sea with water piled up high on both sides so that Israel could cross on dry ground. And then when the Egyptian army followed, God called those seas to come back together and drown that army. God Almighty would conquer and take away from the heathen Canaanite nations the lands that they thought were theirs, but actually belonged to God, and that he was going to give to his people. And he would give those lands to the people by doing things like making thick stone walls surrounding a city just fall down when the Israelites marched around it a few times and then blew the trumpets. What's in a name? God's name? It is that almighty power. It is that power to compel nature to do what is contrary to itself. When's the last time you sat down and contemplated the almightiness of God? That there is nothing that God can't do. Do you contemplate that almighty power that is God's name? Are you mindful every day that He prospers your work and that He defends you from evil? That He watches over you and your families so that all things work for your good? What need or grief has ever failed of relief? I would like you to do what we are going to sing in our distribution hymn this morning in the words of the hymn writer. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do as with His love He befriends you. God Almighty hears your cries for mercy under the burden of your sin and your guilt and uncertainty of death. God displays His almighty power in healing your sicknesses. God calms your storms. He protects you and delivers you from demons. He even delivers you from death and from the grave by His almighty power. Paul said, God calls things that are not as though they were. God called 99-year-old Abraham and 88-year-old Sarah parents, even though they weren't. God calls you the children of God, even though you are still sinners. The Almighty God, speaking to Moses and commanding him to do the seemingly impossible, is our God as well. But God deals with us not only in His awesome might, but also in His faithful grace. What's in a name? God's faithful grace. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I mentioned Yahweh. Later translations is translated Jehovah after they added vowels to the word. But it's really a form of the Hebrew word to be. I am. So I am the Lord is another way of saying I am the I am. God told Moses in that name, there's no other God. I'm the only one. I'm the living God, independent of all things, faithful in all that I do, in all that I say. Jesus identified Himself as that God when He told the Jews, before Abraham was born, I am. And there Jesus was claiming, and is claiming rightfully, to be God. God told Moses that He had not as yet revealed Himself fully as the Lord to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what that simply means is that the patriarchs knew that name, but they didn't really yet understand fully how it would develop. And so God was telling Moses that as my grace remains faithful, as I continue to keep that promise of the Savior, of that faithful grace through all generations, then those generations will more fully come to understand and appreciate just exactly what that means. Yahweh spells out first total independence from anything else. You and I are here because of our parents. God is here because He's God. God is totally and completely independent from anything else. He is free to do what He desires to do. And we love because we have been loved. God loves because God is love. That's His nature. So, I am indicates that complete independence, that complete freedom to do what He wants to do. And what God wanted to do from eternity is to redeem you from your sins, to call you His holy children, even though we are still sinners. Jesus didn't go to the cross because He was dependent on someone or something else to do that. He did it because He chose to in His independence as God. He did that because He is love. Not because He looked at us and went, oh, isn't that horrible that they rebelled against me and they're sinful and they're going to go to hell. And boy, I really feel bad about that, so I better love them. He is love. He didn't love us when He looked at us and said, oh, they need love. He looked at us and said, I am love, and I am going to love them by going to the cross, by paying for their sins on the cross. I will be faithful to my Father's promise, to my Father's will, and to my Father's word. Paul writes to the Corinthians, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. The children of Israel would know that God by that name of faithful love, Jehovah. They would know Him by that name, God Almighty, El Shaddai. And they would know Him by the other name that God uses here, just God, Elohim, which in all the religions of the world is the only plural noun that refers to the deity. God refers to His being with a plural noun because He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all three of the persons made that promise to Moses and to us. I will take you as my own, and I will be your God. That is the covenant of faithful grace. That's not the covenant of the law that was going to come 500 years later. Six months later on Mount Sinai. 6 months later on Mount Sinai. It wasn't, if you obey, I'll be your God. This is the Lord saying, I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. Because that's who I am. That's my name. That's my reputation of that faithful grace. What's in a name? What's in God's name? It is that new covenant that we received in holy baptism, that we received through the preaching of God's word. It is the new covenant that we receive in the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. Tying together our reading from Romans with the names of God and what they mean, as we've just looked at them, We want to listen to a sentence that was written in his excellent study of the Old Testament connecting Sinai to Calvary, written by sainted Professor John Jeske. And in that study, Professor Jeske wrote, "If God were small enough for us to understand, he would not be big enough to be worshiped." We don't worship God because we understand him. We don't follow his will and face the daily tasks that we have to face. No more difficult, really no more impossible than Moses having to go to Pharaoh demanding that God let his people Israel go. We don't face those tasks because we understand our God. As Paul said in our second lesson, but we face our tasks and we conquer our task because we know God's names. We know what they mean and what they do for us. He is the God of almighty power. He is the God of faithful grace. Amen.